The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Meanwhile, breaking news into First Take this morning. Houston, we have a problem. Deshaun Watson, Texans quarterback, has demanded a trade. Deshaun no longer wants to be a part of the Houston Texans organization. Meanwhile, they've hired a new coach. That is David Culley from the Ravens. On that note, we're going to get a player's perspective, bringing in our guy, two-time Super Bowl champ, Damian Woody. Damian, I'll get to you in just a moment. Stephen A., I will start with you.
Yeah.
Tell me this. What was your visceral reaction to this news?
Well, it was about time. I felt that it was necessary. It was something that he needed to announce because, for me personally, to see him sign his new deal just before last season, to see the tears, to see the emotion, to see how happy he was that the organization had placed such a level of faith in him, and then for one season to go by and to see him take a complete 180, knowing the high-quality character guy that he is, it just said to me that something went dreadfully wrong in Houston with its executive branch. Something's going on there. Their treatment of him, their treatment of other players, et cetera. And Deshaun Watson has had enough. And I think that that warrants an investigation as to what exactly has transpired within that organization that would force him to take such a strong, strong stance the way that he has. That's what jumped out in my mind. More importantly, I want to get Damian Woody in here to hear what he has to say, but that's to answer your question directly, Molly. That's what really jumped out at me. Something dreadful must have happened. They did something to that man, and there is something going on with that organization. And then to see him come out with this public announcement just a morning after an African-American had been hired to be the head coach of this franchise, it almost seemed to be as if Deshaun Watson was saying, nah, we ain't playing that game. You're not going to sit up here and use this new hire to disguise what the hell is going on with this organization, which indicates to me something in regards to some kind of racial situation may have taken place there as well, because you hire an African-American coach, and on that morning, Deshaun Watson chooses to make this decision official and public. He's saying to the Texans organization, you're not getting away with this. People are going to know what the hell is going on. They're going to ask the right questions. I'm not going to let this fly under the rug. That's what I took from it.
Listen, I think that we haven't really heard from Deshaun Watson as far as actually him saying anything. But there are two other people that are within that organization as far as players are concerned that speak volumes to what to the way that Deshaun Watson feels right now. J.J. Watt. Everyone that's seen that clip of J.J. Watt after, I forgot the game, it was at the end of the season, after the game, after a tough loss, and J.J. Watt wraps his arm around Deshaun Watson and was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we've wasted your season. A season where the whole team around him was bad. Worse than bad. But Deshaun Watson played like an MVP this past season. And J.J. Watt comes out one of the, maybe arguably the best player in the Houston Texans organization, comes out and apologizes to Deshaun Watson. Andre Johnson, the most decorated wide receiver in that Houston Texans organization, one of the most decorated players in that Houston Texans organization, that has anyone that knows Andre Johnson, he's not the most verbal guy. He's a quiet guy. And for him to come out and eviscerate the Houston Texans organization and basically tells Deshaun Watson to get out of there, don't waste your career in that organization. To me, hearing those two things from those two guys that have played in that organization should let you know where Deshaun Watson is coming from right now.
Boy, that's a great point. The two, really, the two icons in the history of that organization.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them on the same page about mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson. Stephen A., you highlighted J.J. Watt earlier. But, right, J.J. Watt and Andre Johnson. This is my thought. This is going to be the biggest trade in the history of the NFL. Never before has anything like this happened. Think about what I'm saying carefully. Never before has anything like this happened. Don't tell me about Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker was great, and running backs were more important back then, and Dallas built what turned out to be a dynasty behind that trade. But Herschel Walker and running backs back then are not quarterbacks today. The quarterback's the whole shooting match today. And you got the number two guy in the business. Like, I'm talking about trade value. One is Patrick Mahomes, and there's no one more valuable as a tradable commodity, as an asset, than Deshaun Watson. We're hoping Trevor Lawrence lives up to his potential and one day becomes Deshaun Watson. That's if he lives up to it. Justin Herbert, too, who I'm very high on. Joe Burrow, too, who I'm very high on. I love Josh Allen. He's great. Deshaun Watson's better than Josh Allen. I love Lamar Jackson. He's great. Deshaun Watson is better than Lamar Jackson. Maybe Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you'd prefer them. They're 37 and 32. Deshaun Watson's 25. Other than Patrick Mahomes, this is the most valuable asset in the NFL, even though he's not on his rookie deal anymore. In a way, it's good. It gives you stability. You know he's locked up. You don't have to worry about contract right now. And this dude's about to get moved for, I would guess, given what Jalen Ramsey and other position went for, the bidding starts at 3 first-round draft picks. And then I think, guys, Stephen A., you alluded to it. We spoke about it. We spoke about it in the first hour. They hire Cully, an African-American head coach. Good for them. Obviously, this is the first one hired this offseason, though there have been multiple jobs. First African-American coach, way underrepresented in the head coaching department. He's 65 years old. That means he's not in their long-term plans. This is not a 10-year plan. May not be a 5-year plan. It's not a long-term plan. And I don't think it's coincidental that though Watson requested this weeks ago, they make public, oh, look at our big announcement, which seems like a PR move, right? Like, look at how, we hired an African-American coach. Deshaun Watson doesn't seem to me like he's having it. We're not going to play that. You know what? I'm going public with this. I want out. It's going to be the biggest trade in NFL history.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Deshaun Watson has officially requested a trade from Houston. He actually did it weeks ago, according to our Adam Schefter. Their new head coach hire, David Culley, has not and will not alter his thinking. Deshaun Watson hasn't spoken to new Texans general manager Nick Caserio nor executive Jack Easterby. And I also want to just mention quickly, here's a tweet from Adam, interesting, about Houston's leverage if used. Essentially, Damian Woody back here with us. They can fine him $95,000 for missing minicamp, $50,000 per day each day
day of training camp missed, 620,000 per each preseason game missed as well. But it does sound like Deshaun's the one with the leverage when it's all said and done. All right, Damian, let me ask you this.
Hold on,
Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
Yep. Molly, I'm sorry to interrupt. I got some information that all of y'all need to know before we move forward. Deshaun Watson, according to what I'm being told, did not leak this information. The organization, Max, Damian, Molly, leaked the information. They were reached out to ask to confirm it, but they want to make sure everyone knows they did not leak this information. I got that information literally during the commercial break. Just wanted you to know.
Got it. That Deshaun was not the one to put this out there. That it was actually
the organization.
Yeah, a lot of people would have assumed otherwise.
Yes, it was not. Yeah. It was not them. They were asked to confirm. It was leaked by the organization.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, Damian. Let me ask you this, and then you can go wherever you want with it. We obviously know it's the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Almost nearly every team would want to get their hands on him. But who do you think should put their name out there first? Who should really go after Deshaun more so than any other team?
Well, I heard Stephen A. talking about it in the first hour. I think if you're the New York Jets, man, you got to go. You got to push your chips in right now. Because when you're talking about a franchise that's been just struggling mightily to find a solution at the quarterback position, we saw them give up multiple picks to move up to get Sam Darnold. It hasn't worked. This team hasn't been to the playoffs since I was with the New York Jets. That was a decade ago. And the one thing that we know about the New York Jets, they probably have more assets than any other team in the National Football League. Over the next couple years. I know the Jaguars have assets, Miami Dolphins, but the Jets are in prime position to push their chips in and solve the one position that they haven't been able to solve. And when you're able to get a franchise quarterback that's a superstar at 25, everything around that will fall into place. Because guess what? You get Deshaun Watson in New York City, you don't think other people will want to come and play with Deshaun Watson or Allen Robinson, who's a free agent wide receiver. You know, all these guys that's going to be on the market. These guys will flock to New York to go play for a Deshaun Watson if he's the quarterback of the New York Jets. So, listen, GM Joe Douglas, man, push them chips in and go get that superstar quarterback.
I like the idea of the Jets because the Jets have been so dysfunctional in recent years. They need a quarterback who's going to be great independent of the organization. You know, there are very few guys like that. Most guys, like, look at Baker Mayfield. They're not in a good situation. He's not that good. A better situation, that's most quarterbacks. In a better situation, they can be good, and they fall in that range somewhere. Very few, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, would be great no matter where they were. And then it's just a degree of greatness that you're looking at based on a better or worse organization. And Deshaun Watson's one of those guys. And that's who the Jets need so they don't screw it up. So the Jets are a great pick. I've mentioned Chicago in the past. Redo that draft. Don't, you know, this time you don't need to take Trubisky. You can figure out a way to get Deshaun Watson. And from Deshaun's point of view, win a Super Bowl in Chicago first since 85, forget about it, right? But everyone's right. The Jets and the Miami Dolphins this year have the most draft capital. And Stephen A., you'll get into the specifics of the Dolphins, I'm sure. The reason I say it's easier to talk about teams that shouldn't trade for Deshaun Watson, because there are so few of them, right, is because there are probably over 20 teams that really should try to trade for him, is Stephen A., because Adam Schefter was on this program a little while ago, earlier today, and said, in fact, Deshaun, who does have a no-trade clause, is open to a lot of different destinations. Well, that's interesting, and that actually helps the Texans. They can get a haul from him, and then Caserio, the new GM, can really go to work rebuilding the franchise, which right now needs that desperately, because I don't think anyone wants to play there at the moment.
I don't know exactly what picks the Washington football team has available to them, but an African-American as the team president, along with an African-American as the general manager, in light of what apparently is transpiring in Houston, that might be attractive to Deshaun Watson. The Miami Dolphins cannot be ignored. They've got the number 3 pick. They've got the number 18 overall pick. They've got Tua Tagovailoa, and a lot would depend on how the Houston Texans feel about him. Because from a picks perspective. The Dolphins definitely have assets that should appeal to the Houston Texans, particularly if they like Tua Tagovailoa. So that's something that's taken into consideration, because if I'm the New York Jets, I go all in. I offer the number 2 overall pick. I offer the number 23 overall pick. I offer the number 34 overall pick. And I offer Sam Darnold. Yes, I will. And if they want it next year's first round pick, I'd give them that too, just to get my hands on Deshaun Watson. It's plain and simple. If you're the Chicago Bears, you should contact somebody to see if they could change the weather in the Chi-Town, for crying out loud. You offer that damn stuff to anything to get Deshaun Watson a second crack at him, since you passed up on him and Mahomes to draft Mitchell Trubisky and moved up to get him. You talk about a team that desperately needs to make amends, it would be Chicago. But again, when we talk about actual assets, things that are plausible, New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins stand out. I wouldn't put Jacksonville in there, because I don't think there's any way in hell they're giving up the number 1 overall pick that's going to be Trevor Lawrence, with everything that's been said about Trevor Lawrence. So it's really about the Jets and Miami in terms of assets. I think a lot would depend on how Miami feels about how Houston feels about Tua Tagovailoa. But if I'm the Jets, throw Sam Darnold in there. 3 first-round picks, 2 this year, 1 next year, and the second-round pick to get my hands on Deshaun Watson in New York. Without question, I would do that if I'm the New York Jets.
All right.
Damian?
We'll leave it there, guys.
When you analyze who wouldn't want Deshaun, like Josh Allen, they like a lot in Buffalo. Deshaun's better, but I get they want to stay with their guy who's also young, still on his rookie deal. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, I get why those teams wouldn't want to make a move. Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, that's 4. Mahomes is 5. Guys, who else? Maybe there are 5 or 6 or 7 teams who would say, we want our guy. But even if you're Green Bay, you're looking at a 37-year-old. Obviously, the Saints would want him. Like, who wouldn't want Deshaun Watson?
Want to also add in another nugget by the New York Jets real quick. My man Brandon Tierney, that used to work here, now CBS, does a great job. I heard him talking the other day, just remind, because he's one of the biggest Jets fans that I know, and he talked about how the Jets have about $70 million in cap space as well. So when you take into account the assets that they have in terms of picks, and then the $70 million that they have to go out there and attract top-tier players, if you take into account what you said, Damian, in terms of who Deshaun Watson is, how electric he is, how you'd have players wanting to gravitate towards playing with him. You combine that with the fact that it's the New York market and the Jets would have cap space in order to go out there, or the $70 million in cap space, that you could go out there and get some quality athletes. When you add all of that together, the Jets are clearly the team with the most assets to get him. The question is, are they going to be shy about pulling the trigger, or are they going to go all in on Deshaun Watson? That's the question.
Listen, Stephen A., you've been talking about this for a long time, okay? We all live in this New York market. There's nothing that this New York market loves more than superstars.
That's right.
Bring a superstar like Deshaun Watson to New York and watch what happens.
Absolutely. We're still starving for the Knicks to have one.
Can I interest you in Daniel Jones in the 11th overall pick?
No.
No. Stop. No. Stop.
Oh, Max.
No.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Welcome back to First Take. The major storyline today has been the Texans, Deshaun Watson, demanding a trade, but I would argue right now that I have a more important story that we need to share with you and report. Former Seahawks backup offensive lineman Chad Wheeler formally charged Wednesday after his arrest for felony assault, domestic violence. The details, I just want everyone to know at home, are very disturbing. Let me share those with you. Police say Wheeler asked his girlfriend to bow to him. And when she wouldn't, he threw her on the bed and twice strangled her until she lost consciousness. When she regained consciousness for the second time, he allegedly told her, quote, "Oh, you're still alive." The woman fled into a bathroom and called 911. She told police that Wheeler is bipolar and had not been taking his medicine recently. Wheeler was jailed, released on bail, and charged with multiple felonies. Wheeler tweeted an apology to the victim, blaming it on a manic episode, adding that he was walking away from football to get help. The NFL says the incident is under review. Wheeler's contract with Seattle was up, and he will not be returning, per a team source. Max, I'll start with you. Your reaction to the handling of this situation by the Seahawks?
Well, I mean, it's about time that the NFL reacts immediately and, in a strong way to this issue. But this issue is actually cuts along two lines, it seems to me. There's the obvious gender issue, where you're talking about domestic violence. And if you've seen the pictures of her face, it's very disturbing. She looks badly beaten. And then there's also a racial component, because he's a white man and she's a black woman. So there are two components here, which both, considering what's underneath it, he told her to bow to him. If that is true, then the white man is through use of physical threat and then violence, insisting on the black woman bowing to him. That is going to touch a nerve. So there's the obvious physical crime, which looked brutal based on what I've seen, and then there's the dynamic I just mentioned. Now, the idea that he is bipolar, that is real. I've lost someone very close to me because someone had a bipolar episode, but that doesn't mean they're not responsible for their behavior. That person's in jail right now. And if you and he should have been on his medication. The fact that she reported that he's bipolar and he wasn't means she understood that that's a real thing. But that's different than saying he doesn't need to take responsibility. And responsibility is not simply saying, I apologize, and now I seek help.
I couldn't agree with you more. My only question is why he still is not in jail. But I do appreciate the fact that he was jailed and charged with first-degree domestic assault, domestic violence, and unlawful imprisonment. I deeply appreciate that, because that needed to happen. In the bipolar issue, while it's very real, doesn't mean he's not responsible, as Max just so eloquently stated. As it pertains to the NFL, I think what they have to remember, even though you let the law, let the justice system take its course, if you're the NFL, just make sure that you're consistent across the board, because the racial component definitely comes into play when people see a white male and then you've been released from jail, but obviously you've got charges against you, and that has to be dealt with. But we also want to make sure that the NFL is consistent in terms of how it exacts ramifications against such heinous acts. And I have no doubt that they will be. I have complete faith that the NFL will treat this situation like they would treat any situation. Definitely in this day and age, there's no question about it. But there's really not much to say about this other than it's incredibly sad. It's very, very disturbing. If you saw the photos of her, which I saw about a couple of hours ago, I hadn't seen the photos until a couple of hours ago, Molly, when you texted to me, it's very, very disturbing.
Yeah.
I mean, he beat up. He beat up. Yeah. You know, you saw a bloody nose. You saw marks on her face. I think if I remember correctly, you saw some marks around her neck, et cetera. He has to be dealt with, because you certainly have to dissuade people from even thinking that they can get away with such a thing. You have to deal with this with a very, very heavy hand, understanding that the bipolar issue is a very, very serious issue in this nation and throughout the world. And there's a lot of people, there's a plethora of people. I mean, a buddy of mine that's the star of General Hospital, Maurice Bernard, who plays Sonny Corinthos on the show, has been battling that for years and has written books on it. He's doing stuff on YouTube about it all the time, really highlighting how real and serious that issue is. But guess what? This individual literally tried to harm this woman and said, "Oh, you're still alive. I thought you were dead." My God, that implies you tried to kill her intentionally. He's got to be dealt with. He has to be dealt with.
Yeah. Let me just say two things quickly here before we go to break, guys. As far as the mental health issue, for everyone at home, it's an epidemic. We're dealing with a pandemic. Get help. If you need help, get help, ask for help. That shows strength. I implore you to do that if you're dealing with any type of mental health issues. And I'm talking to the people at home that are in the perpetrator position. Also, dealing with this pandemic, we all want to stay safe. I'm pretty much a hermit, as you guys know. But domestic violence issues, addiction issues, suicide rates have absolutely skyrocketed as people have been forced to kind of be locked down in their homes, obviously for the greater good. With that, I want to say to anybody that's dealing with domestic violence at home, there is a hotline. It's called 1-800-799-SAFE. Again, 1-800-799-SAFE. It is anonymous. You can call them and they will come up with a safety plan to get you into a safe situation and support you through this matter. So if you're dealing with this kind of issue, there is help. Please call. And also if you're dealing with mental health, so many are suffering right now. What we saw to this woman in those images, I know we didn't share them. They are sickening, they are disturbing, and it is absolutely unacceptable. And there needs to be a zero tolerance policy, not just in the NFL, but in any place of business, in any home, anywhere. It can't be tolerated, and he needs to be in prison. The law needs to get involved. Police need to get involved, and that's who needs to deal with this, because this kind of behavior is unacceptable and cannot go on. We will leave it on that note. I appreciate your thoughts, and again, my thoughts and prayers are with the victim and in her family right now and anybody at home who is suffering with this issue.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
And there he is, Raiders tight end Darren Waller, first-time Pro Bowler. Darren, thank you so much for being with this morning. Good to have you. And I also want to mention the Raiders, the last team to beat the Chiefs. And I just want to give you some love for a second because I was looking up some stats on you. 107 passes this season, breaking Tim Brown's record in 1997. How about that? And in the last two seasons, you only trail Travis Kelce amongst tight ends in receptions and receiving yards. So you have been balling, sir. And I just want to make sure everyone at home is aware of that beyond Raiders Nation. But first, let me start with this. Major story of the day, Deshaun Watson demanding a trade. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel like Deshaun Watson, at this point, all that he's done for Houston and that franchise, I feel like he has the right to express how he truly feels. He's invested so much into that organization that he's earned the right to have that voice, and they should listen to him. And I feel like it's okay for him to express how he feels. And if he wants to go somewhere else with his career, then I'm all for that.
We see this kind of stuff happening, Darren, and welcome to the show. Thank you so much. But we see this kind of stuff happening primarily in the sport of the National Basketball Association. It's rare that we've seen something like this happen in the National Football League. As a player in the National Football League, what enters your mind when you hear a player, particularly of his caliber, take this kind of staunch position? How does it resonate with y'all? Not necessarily about him, but about the team he plays for and how players in the National Football League are getting treated by some organizations. What are your thoughts?
When you see something like that, you just know that there's a divide there. The best organizations in the league, there's a camaraderie, there's a togetherness, there's the front office, the coaches, and the players on the same page. And when you see a guy like Deshaun, take that stance, you know that there's a divide. Like, he's a champion. We know that. We know his pedigree. And there's something there in that organization that isn't sitting right with him. With all that he's put in, he feels like there's no change that's going to be there. And that's a tough place to be as a player, because you can do all that you can and control what you can control. But when it's not being met on the other side, it's very frustrating.
Meantime, Deshaun Watson, I've been saying, has probably second most trade value in the NFL, given his age and his ability and everything, behind Patrick Mahomes, who's a guy who's gone 25-1, or who's on a team that just went 25-1 in their last 26 games. There was one team that beat them. I don't know if you know who it is off the top of your head, but I suspect that you do. What is the key to beating the Kansas City Chiefs?
You got to be firing on all cylinders for sure. When we beat them, we had explosive pass plays, a few that were over 50 yards, explosive runs that were over 50 yards. The defense had multiple turnovers, so it's got to be every part of the game that's contributing. It can't just be one part because they're such a good team at this point in the season. Their defense is always playing their best at this time. You know what their offense brings to the table is just, you know, it's a freak show over there. So, you know, you got to be on top of every aspect of the game. One small slip in any small area can be that what breaks the game open for them. So I would say, you know, explosive plays on offense and turn the ball over and getting sacks on defense.
What the hell happened to y'all, man? Y'all were 6-4. Y'all looked like y'all were en route to going to the playoffs, and then y'all ended up 2-4 over your last six games. Finished as a 500 team. What happened? What happened to the Las Vegas Raiders?
When you look back over the last 2 years, like a similar trend happened. So I would probably say that goes into attention to detail as we go down through the season. Got the small things are what separate those games that we lose. And you can go by and cruise by off energy and, you know, enthusiasm and things like that early in the season. But when it gets tough in the later half and it gets cold and, you know, the road gets tougher, you know, we got to be on top of the details and come to work with that same level of energy, even an increased energy to be a championship team and be considered in those playoff games. So, you know, things like that got to change. We got to step up our ball security on offense, can't be turning the ball over or, you know, falling short in the red zone. These are things that we have to fix in order to get where we want to go.
You've played both teams in the Super Bowl this year. So you faced both defenses. Which defense is more of a problem, the Bucs or the Chiefs?
I probably had to go with the Bucs. You look at the front, you got Shaq Barrett, who led the league in sacks in 2019. You got Pierre Paul, who I think was the toughest person I had to pass protect against this year and is playing some of the best of his career. You got those the linebacker duo in there, which is the best I probably ever played against at any level. And their DBs can make plays as well, like Murphy Bunting, you know, Carlton Davis, Whitehead flying around back there. So they've got talent on every single level and guys that can make impact plays. But I'm not going to sell the Kansas City defense short either, not with Tyrann Mathieu out there, Frank Clark, you know, guys like that. They get better as the season goes along, better than anyone I've seen in the past couple of years.
What's it like to play for Chucky? That's what we people affectionately call him. He's the great John Gruden. We miss him. He is the voice of Monday Night Football. He did an outstanding job for us for many years, even though Louis Riddick and the crew are doing a great job now. Wanted to know your thoughts, because when we think about the Raiders, you think about John Gruden, Chucky, as they call him from time to time, from that doll that always looked like his face was messed up, all of that stuff. But anyway, Chucky, what's it like playing for him?
It's amazing playing for Coach Gruden. He's got an infectious energy about him, and it's always positive, you know, speaking greatness into people. Like when I first got to the team, you know, I was just, you know, a guy trying to keep a job because I was always in trouble and things like that. But he was speaking greatness into me, and that kind of planted seeds for me to, you know, take off with my career. And it's always things like that. He'll get after you if the effort and things like that aren't there. But he's a guy that loves everyone that's a part of the team, a part of the building, a part of the franchise. And he just makes it fun to come in and come to meetings and come to practice every day.
Darren, huge congrats on an incredible season by you personally. And let me ask you this, because I'm going to be asking folks this quite a bit over the next week, but you're the first person I get to. I'm super excited for the Super Bowl. As we mentioned, you played both teams. Who's winning it? Is it Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, or is it Tom Brady and the Bucs?
I'm going with the Bucs. And I think if the Bucs win, I feel like there's going to be a defensive Super Bowl MVP.
Interesting. I didn't expect to hear you say that.
The Bucs have the better defense.
You do know that you got to face the Kansas City Chiefs twice next year, right? You know that, right? You just picked against them.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. They might remember that. You know that, right?
It's okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Darren, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate
you. He's got to play their defense, Stephen A. If he was a defender, maybe it'd be a little different.
Yes. I feel you.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Darren. Take care. We'll keep it moving here, guys.
Thanks,
this year's Super Bowl game features a matchup between two most clutch quarterbacks in the game. Patrick Mahomes erased a 10-point fourth-quarter deficit to lead the Chiefs to victory in last year's Super Bowl, while Tom Brady has several come-from-behind wins in the big game, most notably a 28-3 deficit with Atlanta. Max, I'll start with you. Who do you trust more with the game on the line? The big fella, Damian Woody, is back. Who's more clutch, Brady or Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes. If the question is football, the answer is Patrick Mahomes. I trust him more with the game on the line, the game not on the line, in the first quarter, in the fourth quarter. I trust him the most because he's the best. And I'll say that I've seen Mahomes and Brady link up when Brady had all the experience in the world, had already five Super Bowl championships, and Mahomes was in his first season as a starter. I saw what happened at the end of that game. Tom Brady threw an interception to end the game. A pre-snap penalty gave him the ball back. Understand, Mahomes never got to touch the ball. I saw Brady throw the interception. The game should have been over. I also saw Mahomes not touch the ball. It's my belief to this day that had Mahomes gotten the ball, he'd be working on his third consecutive Super Bowl win. By the way, I am done. I'm finished with the business of predicting Tom Brady's demise. That's not what this is about. He's been outstanding. At his age or any age. But Mahomes is playing the quarterback position, I believe, at the highest level it's ever been played.
Couple of things. Number one, Tom Brady was not outstanding in the second half last week when he threw three interceptions. Let's remember that. Even though we applaud him and we think he's great and it's phenomenal that he's in this position, the second half was not that great. Having said all of that, it's not that definitive to me when it comes to Mahomes over Brady, because Brady is the six-time champion. He is the guy that went to nine Super Bowls. One of the Super Bowls he lost throwing for 505 yards against the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not going to sleep on it. Just one game in the clutch moment. Tom Brady, as far as I'm concerned, if you're good enough to be in a clutch moment in a particular game, then why shouldn't I bet on Tom Brady once that clutch moment arrives? You know, to me, he's somebody that you got to take out, put him behind the eight ball, have him playing catch up. But if it's a nip and tuck and he's balling and it's a close clutch situation, I can't summarily dismiss that. And as it pertains to Patrick Mahomes, Max, I want to say one other thing before we move on here. Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal. Deshaun Watson, it's nice to hear you acknowledge again that he's phenomenal as well. But you're quick to say he's not Patrick Mahomes. Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, as opposed to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Let me see Deshaun Watson with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and then tell me he's not Patrick Mahomes. Until then, I'm not so sure. But to get back to Brady and Mahomes, just a clutch situation, not long or season long or anything, just one clutch situation. For example, a Super Bowl's on the line, last 5 minutes, it's nip and tuck. I'm going to bet against Brady? I don't think so.
Boy, y'all put me in a position.
Yeah, you know.
Y'all put me in a position. An untenable position. I've seen 12 do it six times. Six times I've seen 12 do it. That's crazy. But I also know that Patrick Mahomes is the best football player in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes can do things off platform, can do things when things break down as good as any player, or probably better, in the National Football League. And so, for that reason alone, I'm going to give Patrick Mahomes the edge, because I think Tom Brady is a little bit more reliant, on all the pieces around him. When things happen, if the Chiefs bring the blitz and have more rushes than you have blockers, can Tom Brady weasel his way out of it, make things happen like a Patrick Mahomes can? I mean, those are the little things that we're talking about here. And so for me, I want to give a slight edge to the young Ferrari in Patrick Mahomes. Mm.
Wow, the former Patriot, the two-time Super Bowl champ. Okay, Damian Woody, I see now, you going with the Chiefs. I'm glad you're an unbiased analyst. You're an unbiased analyst, and I'm proud of you right there. What? What are we not going
to
do?
Are you trying to say that I'm biased? Are you trying to say that I'm biased,
Molly?
No,
I said you're
Molly?
Unbiased. I said that was an unbiased pick. I'm very proud of you. Even though you've got two Super Bowls, a lot of that thanks to Tom Brady, you still went with the Chiefs because you think Patrick Mahomes is the better quarterback. And guess what, Damian Woody? I think you are wrong.
Good for you,
Damian. But let's keep it moving here. We have plenty of time for Super Bowl picks. Let me get this breaking news story in one more time, fellas. Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson has requested a trade. This comes out publicly on the same day that they hired a new head coach. And apparently it has nothing to do with the hiring of the head coach. It was in the works for plenty of weeks before. Stephen A., I'll start with you here on this. The fact that he wants to be out, we've heard other players are unhappy with the organization. Any last words here on this subject?
Everyone's hesitant to say so because you want to make sure that you have definitive facts before you point things out. I totally respect where the Adam Schefter and others are coming from. They're doing the right thing. What I would say, however, is that I watched a quarterback sign a multi-million-dollar deal, a nine-figure deal, and was crying and appreciative of the organization. One season later, he wants out, won't return their phone calls, has nothing to do with them. That's not about a 4-12 record. That's about something more than that. Whether it's being lied to or the treatment of him, that's what that says to me. And when Adam Schefter highlights that numerous players feel this way, he didn't go to the demographics of it all, and I totally understand that. But Deshaun Watson, to feel the way that he feels, and to come across as so offended by the organization, the manner in which they've been treated, I think we're going to find out a lot of things. And I think the fact that they hired a 65-year-old black coach who had never been a coordinator, offensive or defensive, and he's your head coach. And then that following morning is when all of this comes out in an official capacity about Deshaun Watson. That's telling me something about the Texans organization and black players. And all I'll say about it is that I'd love to find out more. I do not know, but something smells. My nostrils, I can sense the stench right now. Something smells. Something ain't right. And I want to find out what that is. And I promise you, I'm not going to rest until I do.
Well, as you might say, Stephen A., let me put it more directly. Something stinks. And look, this is what it looks like right now. Let me just tell you what it looks like from where I'm sitting. Stephen A., you reported earlier that it was not Deshaun Watson who leaked the information that he'd actually requested a trade weeks ago, but now it's public. So what does that look like? The team hires a black head coach. Look, everybody, there's no issue here. Nothing to see here. You know, please disperse, right? Okay, the coach is 65 years old. That means he's not in their long-term plans. Don't be slick, guys. Like, everyone sees what that is. He's 65 years old. I feel very good for him. He made it to the top of the NFL. That's awesome. He got a head coaching job, and it's a black head coach. That's important. But he's 65. That ain't a 10-year plan. As you said earlier, Stephen, it might not even be a 5-year plan. And Deshaun Watson didn't come out and say anything. They now outed Deshaun Watson and his trade request, which means it seems like they're trying to frame it. Look at Deshaun Watson. What's the problem? What does he want from us? Look, we have a black head coach, and that's what it looks like from where I'm sitting. Damian, finally, I'll say, we're about to witness the biggest trade in NFL history. There's never, ever been a commodity like this in the NFL, a superstar quarterback in his prime, 25 years old, who's been traded. It's going to be a first.
I agree with you. I think you're exactly right. My question is, where did it all go wrong for the Houston Texans? Where did it all go wrong for the Houston Texans to the point where you had a superstar quarterback signed up to a long-term extension, a top five quarterback entering in his prime, and now he's demanding a trade? I'm going to repeat again what I said earlier in the show. You had J.J. Watt apologizing for the season that the team had around Deshaun Watson. Andre Johnson, one of the most celebrated players in that Houston Texans organization, basically trashing the organization, telling Deshaun Watson to get the hell out. How in the world did the Houston Texans get to this point? That's got to be, I mean, that's, I want to know. Because we're only hearing 10% of what's probably what's really happening within that organization. I want to know.
Bill O'Brien has some of those answers, former head coach. He's got some of those answers, especially since he had so much power after they got rid of GM Rick Smith. He's got some answers.
Traded DeAndre Hopkins
I'm
for
sure
a bag
more of these details
chips.
Will continue to leak out. And we'll continue to keep you up to speed on this. And ultimately, we want to see where he lands. All right, guys, thank you for being with us. We'll see you all tomorrow morning.